Hello again, this is Pastor Robert Venable. We want to welcome you today to another edition of Let's Talk About Jesus. Well, the time has went so quick, it seems that it was only yesterday that we were talking about Jesus on this broadcast, and it's time to talk about Jesus again today. And I'm just so glad to be called to be a preacher of the gospel. And if we're going to preach the gospel, the good news concerning Jesus Christ, then he has to be the centerpiece of the message. You know what the Apostle Paul said? He said, "I don't want to know anything among you but Jesus Christ and him crucified." And then he went on to say, "If I would glory or boast, I will glory in the cross, whereby I am crucified to the world, and the world is crucified unto me." So we want to keep a Christ-centered, cross-centered gospel so that people can clearly understand why Jesus came into this fallen world and what he has done to save it and to save us from ourselves and from sin's deadly consequence. We're just so glad today, regardless of whether you are a Christian or a non-Christian, believer, non-believer, we hope you will stay tuned for a little while we talk about Jesus Christ. Maybe you'll better understand the Bible. Maybe you have seen some things in Christianity that have turned you off. We're people with feet of clay. We're going to fail. We're not making excuses. I'm not getting ready to pull some skeleton out of the closet either. God has been good to me, and by the grace of God, he's kept me all of these years, and I love him. I love him so much for what he's done for me. But there are failures within Christianity and within the Christian church, but there is a Christ who did not fail, who will not fail you. And I pray today that somehow, some way, we can turn your eyes toward him and let you see what he has done in your behalf on the cross. And if you're a Christian, to see it anew and afresh. Because we're going to talk today about Jesus Christ, the suffering servant. I want to make a statement before we read from the scriptures. And if you have your Bible, if you would open them to the book of Acts, chapter 8, verse 26 through 35. Acts chapter 8, verse 26 through 35. We will find an encounter there between Philip and the Ethiopian man. And within it, we will begin this study of Jesus Christ, the suffering servant. I do want to make a statement to you today, though, that is important to make, and that is that the cross of Jesus Christ is central to the gospel of Jesus Christ. You take away the cross, you take away the gospel as it was delivered to us. The blood of Jesus is critical and crucial to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Christ himself is crucial to the gospel and the salvation message, because Jesus said that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and that he is the mediator between God and man, and no man comes to the Father except through him. So these are radical statements to be made in this day, and yet they are absolutely biblically true statements that we're making to you today. Someone was on a talk show some months ago with Larry King, a Christian minister, and I forget his name. I'm sorry I did. I should be sending him a letter of congratulations. But one of the things that that Larry King said was, when concerning Jesus' claim to be the only way to God, he said, "Don't you think it's arrogant of Jesus to say something like that?" And the Christian minister responded immediately, "Not if it is true." Amen. We want you to know today that what Jesus said is true. It's a truth that is validated and verified by his resurrection from the dead. Jesus didn't rise from the dead, the Bible said our faith is in vain. But he did, in fact, rise from the dead. And that validates what he had to say to us. And that gives it an authority that no other leader of a world religion could give, and gives it a credibility, because every leader is dead but one, and that's Jesus, who is alive forevermore. Hallelujah. So we're not here today to bash other religions. We're just here today to tell you the truth. The truth is that Jesus is the Son of God, and he is the Savior of the world, and that is the core issue of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. And he's a suffering servant. He saved us in a way that demonstrates and exhibits a powerful, wonderful love for us. So not only are we going to be saved if we trust in him, but we're going to experience love on a level that we could never know other than the kind of love that he gives to us. So I want you to listen to the scriptures today as we study. And by the way, just before we begin reading from Acts 26 through 35, why don't you tune in Sunday for a live excerpt from a preaching service from 12 until 1 p.m. on Sundays, Sunday Morning Alive. And if you want to go into a live service with all the blips and bloopers, but the Word of God preached under the anointing, you tune in that broadcast, and there will be a truth come, because we will minister from the eternal Word of God, just as we're doing in this teaching today. Amen. And if you want to visit our website, just type in THCOG, and that will take you to the Holy Church of God in Tampa, Florida, is where this broadcast originates, church that I've been pastor of for 34 years. That's a long time to stay in one place, but this is where God has stationed us. And out of this little outreach center that we have now, we minister through this radio broadcast to wherever God will send his word, including the nations of the world. So tell somebody about this radio station as well, WMAF. Type in their homepage, WMAF Home, and it will take you to their homepage and on computer, and you can listen by computer 24 hours a day, and anyone else can, anywhere in the world. Praise God. So tell someone about WMAF and the wonderful gospel programming and wonderful programming that is family friendly. The old classic songs, country and classic 50s songs and gospel quartets, and praise God, and gospel preaching, good old camp meeting preaching. Hallelujah. So from other ministries as well that's on this station. So as you sponsor this station, you sponsor the gospel on this station. So please do that. It'd be a blessing to you, to us, and to the people that you tell about it. Praise God. Amen. Now, if you have your Bibles, Acts chapter 8, verse 26 through 35, Jesus, the suffering servant. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south, and to the way that goeth down from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is in the desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot read Esaias, which literally is Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to his chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come and sit with him. The the place of Scripture, it said in verse 32, where he read was this. Listen carefully. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch said to Philip, And I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet, this of himself, or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth, began at the same scripture, and preached unto him Jesus. I want to read that again. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. The portion of Scripture that he was reading is found in Isaiah chapter 53 in the Old Testament, where Christ is revealed as a willing sacrifice lamb, giving himself in our place to suffer and die for us. In Isaiah, he is known as the suffering servant. Praise the Lord. The suffering servant. You know, just to say that Christ died for you is not enough to begin to really get a grasp of what he did to obtain salvation for us. He didn't just die for us. His death was not a quick death. It was a very long, drawn out, brutal, vicious, agonizing death. Now, I'm not saying this to play on your emotions today, but to give you a clear understanding and appreciation of just what it cost for you and I to be saved, and just what price God has paid to save anyone who will trust in Jesus Christ. So if you're not a Christian and you're listening to this broadcast, I want you to begin to understand just how much God loves you today, and to what extent he has went to show that love and demonstrate and exhibit that love. Jesus is known as the suffering servant because he didn't just die an instantaneous death where there is a death blow and darkness comes. No. And putting us, separating us from the pain and the pang of death. No. Jesus suffered, and died for us. And in that suffering, in one who had the power to come down off of that cross, is the showing forth not the strength of the nails, the strength of a mighty world empire called Rome, or the authority of the religious body of that time. No, that's not what held him and kept him on the cross. It wasn't those two puny guards standing at the foot of it. Jesus told Peter, if my kingdom were of this world, I could call thousands of angels to protect me and destroy the world. But listen to this. Amen. Jesus stayed on that cross voluntarily. The nails didn't hold him. He stayed on it because he loved you and because he loved me. And in that staying on that cross and suffering such pain and such agony and such shame, therein is the message of God's great love for his people. Love is not just a word in the Bible. It is Jesus hanging on a cross. Amen. That's why Isaiah's prophecy, which has been called the gospel in the Old Testament by many Bible scholars, Isaiah's great prophecy in Isaiah 53, hundreds of years before Jesus came on the scene. This prophecy is about a man dying on the cross, a sacrifice lamb in behalf of others to take away sin. What a wonderful revelation that God gave the prophet Isaiah. This is where the eunuch was reading. He'd obtained scripture from the ancient book of Isaiah, and now he's reading about this wonderful, wonderful work that's being accomplished. And he's saying, is he talking about himself or somebody else? And Philip began at the same scripture and preached Christ unto him. I want to read what they were reading from the book of Isaiah chapter 53. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. But surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. Who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he hath done no violence, neither was there any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed and prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. He was numbered with the transgressors, and bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. This is the great truth that I just read you, that we declare in the gospel of Jesus Christ, that Jesus absorbed the wrath of God on our behalf, and he did it by suffering. Let me read to you from Galatians 3 in verse 13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. The wrath of God, you see, that should have caused our eternal suffering fell on Jesus Christ. This is the glory of grace, and it could only come through his suffering and dying for you and me. You see, the death of Jesus did away with the cause of God's enmity toward us by taking away our sins. God has always loved us, and he still does. But his wrath, which is basically a fixed, permanent attitude against evil, God's wrath has been turned away because of the cross of Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, the Bible says in the New Testament, we are not appointed unto wrath, but to obtain salvation through Jesus Christ. One of the strong arguments theologically against Christians going through the whole of the tribulation is that we are not appointed to wrath. And the Bible clearly says at the opening of all of the judgments during the tribulation period that this is the wrath of the Lamb, the justifiable anger and judgment coming on a fallen world. Folks, the Bible said in 1 Thessalonians that we have not been appointed unto wrath, but to obtain salvation through Jesus Christ. Amen. But that's another message for another time, and it's a great kind of theological can of worms. But the important thing is Jesus has died on the cross, and I believe on that great issue we come into holy, wholehearted agreement as Christians. Quoting Max Lucado, listen to this quote. Ponder the achievement of God. He doesn't condone our sin, nor does he compromise his standard. He doesn't ignore our rebellion, nor does he relax his demands. Rather than dismiss our sin, he assumes our sin and incredibly sentences himself. God's holiness is honored. Our sin is punished, and we are redeemed. God is still God. The wages of sin is still death, and we are made perfect. In his great mercy, God does what we cannot do, so we can be what we dare not dream, perfect before God. You know, the Bible said that he's able to present us faultless. Amen. He's able to keep us from falling. That means going back into sin and coming under its authority and power to where a whole life is under its sway. He's able to keep us from falling, the New Testament said, and present us faultless. And the only reason he can do that is because he took our punishment. He took our place on the cross, and our sin was judged in him so that God could be just when he justified us. Hallelujah. Amen. This is a gospel that I don't have words in my vocabulary to tell you. I don't believe there are words totally adequate in the human vocabulary. I don't believe that just what I read to you, that the Holy Spirit has inspired to be contained in the Bible in and of themselves, just the words that are being brought forth today and the mind trying to comprehend it, is enough. I believe we need the revelation of God to really begin to appreciate and to understand a little better what Jesus has really done for us on the cross. I believe somehow God needs to put this in our heart in a way that we can begin to see it with more than just mental assent and with more than just an intellectual capability of trying to grasp something that's verbally brought forth. We need an anointing of the Holy Spirit to begin to get a hold of this, because the Bible said we're loved with a love that passes knowledge. The Bible speaks of the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ. The Bible speaks of things that are absolutely inexplainable in human terms, except the Holy Spirit help us speak it and the Holy Spirit help us comprehend it. And that's one of the reasons that God gave the mighty Holy Ghost to us, so that we could begin to comprehend things that are beyond human comprehension. You know, the Bible said, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, it's never entered into the heart of man what God hath prepared for them that love him. And if we stop right there, we think of a funeral sermon and we think of heaven, this place that God has built for us. But the next verse puts it in a different context altogether. It says, but he hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. There are things that I can minister from God's holy book. There are things that I can try to explain with the best of my ability. There are things you can try to grasp with the best of yours. But there are things, according to the Scripture, that only the Holy Spirit can show us. And I am depending on the Holy Spirit to show you clearly what Jesus has done for us on the cross today. If you're not a Christian today, I pray that your eyes, your spiritual understanding, God will open the eyes of your heart today to begin to grasp. I think too what God has done for you and how much he loves you. I think too many times we in ministry are over dependent on our ability, our eloquence, our ability to deliver, our charisma, if you please, our own ability to deliver a message rather than the mighty Holy Spirit. Some of the great preachers of old, I've read their sermons, and believe me, there was nothing new that I learned by reading their sermons that I haven't studied from Scripture. Most of us have preached along the line that many of the great preachers of old preached. They're not preaching something so different, but somehow another, that God and that person was working in tandem to see souls saved. Amen. And sometimes people come to Christ when the message is not near as eloquent as another message, but somehow the inner eye, the eye of the Spirit, the eye of the heart sees what the natural eye can't see, and the ear hears what the natural eye cannot hear. Jesus dying on a cross can be intellectually accepted immediately, but what that death really meant and what it cost him on that cross and what was really happening and how it relates to you and I is an entirely different situation. This is the glory of grace. He chose us. He willingly laid down his life for us, for you, and for me. For someone to die the death that he died, to suffer the way that he suffered in our behalf, to take our sin upon himself and allow himself to be judged in our place, is the greatest demonstration of love that there is in all of the Word of God. There is nothing in the Word of God, nothing in the entire Bible that outshines Jesus dying on the cross. It is the crux of the gospel. It is the centerpiece of the gospel. If you take that from the gospel. It is no longer the gospel of Jesus Christ. No matter what else we try to say from the Bible, if we take this centerpiece, it is not the gospel of Jesus Christ any longer. I'm so glad to be a preacher like Paul of old, of Jesus and Him crucified. And the reason the love in my heart for God is strong today, after all of these years, I'm going on 61. I came to Jesus going on 21. And I can tell you right now, 40 years of serving Him, none of this joy, none of this enthusiasm, none of this excitement about the cross and the blood of Jesus has waned. I'm not telling you there haven't been dips along the way, but I'm telling you, all I have to do is go back to the cross and kneel at that cross and look up and through the eye of faith see Jesus dying, suffering, and dying for me, and say, how can this be? Amazing love, how can it be? This my God dying for me. This still blows me away. It's incredible. It is indelibly written upon my heart that Jesus loved me enough to die for me on an old rugged cross. And He's given me many blessings that have made me so grateful and thankful that I want to shout His name to the nations. But the greatest blessing of all is the constant of the cross. I go through emotional highs and lows like everyone else, but the great stabilizer in my life is the cross. It is the constant. It stands, halamakosan, above everything else, and it declares above everything else that Jesus is who He said that He was, and He loved us as much as God said that He loved us. Hallelujah. Who am I that a king would bleed and die for? I feel this in the very inner being of my soul today. I'm a Pentecostal preacher, but I'm a preacher that preaches the cross, and I join ranks with every minister of the gospel that lifts up Jesus Christ today and Him crucified and declares Him to be the Son of God and the Savior of the world. Hallelujah. This is so exciting to me. My spirit, revival to me is getting back to the cross. It's not going on to some new and different and mightier somehow or more exciting revelation of something we've seen in Scripture. It's going back to the core issue of it all, and that is the cross of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Folks, I want to tell you something today. This thing's bubbling up in me till the Holy Ghost can't hardly be still. Amen. And I don't want Him to be still. I guess the cat is out of the bag. I am an excited, absolutely enthusiastic preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because I am not preaching something new, different, some new improved version of the gospel, because there is none. The real gospel centers in the cross of Jesus Christ, and a suffering Savior that loves you and loves me enough to go to that cross and to die for us. And I preach this message unapologetically. There's no one that loves you like Jesus loves you today. There's no love in the universe like the love that is given to us and portrayed upon an old rugged cross. It's an old, old story that is contemporary to the postmodern church and world. And I believe it's more needed now than ever. I believe the first love in Christians that begins to die out can be renewed at the foot of the cross. I believe the message to America that can bring revival is still Jesus on the cross. I believe that if you're not a Christian today and you listen to this broadcast and it's beginning to click, it's beginning to fall from your head to your heart, that your eyes are beginning to see, your ears are beginning to hear, that we deserve to be judged, we deserve to be cursed, we deserve to be damned, but He took our place so He could save us, so He could forgive us, so He could accept us, so we could live in His heaven and make His heaven our home. If Jesus is calling you today, if Jesus is talking to your heart today, that you bow your head right now and say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive my every sin. Take away every stain. I accept you now as my Lord and my personal Savior. I'm sorry I sinned against you, but I thank you for dying for me, becoming the suffering servant in my place. If you're a Christian today and you've lost the first love and the zeal is gone, the spark is gone, the Bible said, remember your first works and do them again. Where did it all begin? What is the first of the first works? It's to kneel at an altar and look up to a man hanging on an old rugged cross, laying down his life so that you would not perish but have eternal life. We love you today. We pray you'll tune in next week as we continue the study of the suffering servant. He did what he did because he loves you so very much, and we love you today. And we're thankful that you listen to this broadcast. Till next week, this is Pastor Robert saying, come back and be with us at 2 p.m. and let's talk about Jesus.